Well, on Tuesday, a commercial satellite owned by a U.S. company was destroyed in space when it collided with a defunct Russian military satellite. This was 480 miles above Siberia. Now, this was the first ever satellite crash in orbit. And as the traffic increases in space, these collisions are likely to become more frequent. And with that comes a whole slew of issues for private satellite owners and for government policymakers alike looking to protect high-value space hardware, not to mention protect life on Earth. Joining me now are Andy Pastor, Wall Street Journal reporter who wrote this up in today's paper, and Gene Stansbury, Orbital Debris Program Manager for NASA. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Gene Stansbury, most of our listeners didn't know that there was such a position as Orbital Debris Program Manager. What do you do?
Well, actually, we've been in existence for quite some time. We've been working this issue for several decades now, and we do a wide range of things, including trying to make measurements of very small orbital debris, to also doing models that would predict the risk to spacecraft, and trying to develop policy that prevents the growth of orbital debris space.
Were you surprised by this collision?
We had actually, if you look at the models that that we've had, we've probably are overdue for this type of collision. I think as you know, if you look at the cumulative probability over time, we probably passed you know, the 50% probability of having a collision like this several years ago.
Yeah, well, I guess we got to 100% on Tuesday. Andy Pastor, I'm sorry, from the Wall Street Journal, in your article, you write that there are 220 active commercial satellites orbiting the globe now, as well as hundreds of military, science, and spy satellites up there. Some estimate as many as 6,600 satellites are orbiting the Earth, satellites of one type or another. How fast is this number increasing?
Well, it's growing very quickly, and of course they're in different orbits, and the big commercial satellites are much higher than many of the Earth observation satellites and weather satellites and spy satellites. The real problem is, I think, that this incident shows the U.S.'s effort to monitor these orbits and to really predict what happens is perhaps not as good as everyone thought it was. The concern, I think, at NASA and elsewhere has been smaller particles that can't be tracked so well, and there are thousands and thousands of them. But I think the feeling was that in terms of actual satellites, full-size satellites, that the Pentagon could do a pretty good job of tracking them, seeing where they are and predicting where they would be in terms of other satellites. And this incident shows that obviously something went pretty terribly wrong.
The Russian satellite, as I understand it, was no longer in use. So do satellites just orbit forever, even if they're not used, Andy?
Well, that's a very good question, of course. It depends on what kind of satellite and who operates them. Regulators have been trying to make sure that operators come up with plans to deorbit satellites, to get them out of orbit, to make sure that they burn up by coming into the Earth's atmosphere. For big satellites, that usually works. For smaller satellites, you try to park them out of the way, or they just keep orbiting. And that is a big problem because that number is growing, of course.
And Gene Stansbury from NASA, is there a threat to humans on the ground from satellites in space knocking into each other and then debris falling to Earth?
Well, actually, once a satellite like this collides and produces a bunch of small fragments, the smaller fragments would burn up more easily than a large intact satellite. But of course, that you know, the large number of fragments then makes the risk to other space assets much higher.
Andy, the Chinese used an anti-satellite weapon to knock down one of their own defunct satellites in 2007, and there was great consternation about that in this country because it was seen as a test of a weapon that might be used against a U.S. space installation of some kind for military purposes in the future. But is that kind of shooting down something that companies and governments are going to have to start doing?
Well, I think that people are starting to think about what to do with satellites that are in potentially dangerous orbits and could stay there for a long time. There is talk about using lasers to get rid of space debris. There's some forward-looking folks who are looking at using small satellites to push debris into higher orbits. But I think the Chinese shoot-down really brought the idea of anti-satellite weapons to the fore. And my sense is that this incident, along with what happened, what the Chinese did, there's going to be tremendous pressure in Congress now to increase spending, military spending, on protections for both commercial and military satellites, and for all sorts of sensors so that there's a better sense of what's around our crucial satellites, what satellites are nearby, what particles are nearby, and to predict what might happen.
Could countries intentionally put their satellites on collision courses with other countries' satellites as, you know, as a hostile act?
Well, that's indeed, if yes, of course they could, and the Pentagon, in their war game scenarios, that is one of the scenarios they play out. If U.S. satellites, many of them, are suddenly destroyed or incapacitated or jammed or rammed, what would happen to our ability to control our troops? So that is a real concern, and folks in the Pentagon deal with it on a monthly basis.
And Gene Stansbury, Orbital Debris Program Manager for NASA, this accident with two satellites colliding with each other over Siberia on Tuesday has potentially very serious consequences. If, say, a government high-value satellite or space station was involved in a collision, I gather that NASA and the Pentagon do track these satellites and debris through your office and elsewhere. Did someone drop the ball? Should they have seen this coming and been able to do something about it?
Well, let me first correct something you said. You said it might be desirable to shoot down these satellites to get rid of them. And from an orbital debris point of view, that is the worst thing you can do, because you make a bunch of smaller fragments, and then they can collide with other things. So that's something you don't want to do. In terms of this,
in other words, the Chinese were just blowing smoke when they said they had to do it to clear their space junk.
I don't want to say. I don't know that they ever said that, I can't comment on that.
Okay.
In terms of Space Command, I don't want to totally speak for Space Command, but they have a very hard job keeping up with all of these satellites. And if you look at the statistics of close approaches, there are a large number of close approaches every day. And to maintain the orbits on all of these satellites, it's very computer intensive. And there's two types of computations they do, one called general perturbations and one called special perturbations. And typically they use the general perturbations for most satellites because that's a much faster algorithm that they can use. But it's somewhat less precise. So even though they predicted a close approach, it did not, from their calculations, seemed to be a close enough approach that that it set off any alarms. Actually, there were, based on their predictions, other closer approaches on that day than this particular satellite. Now, if they'd used the special perturbations, that would have been more precise, but it requires much more computing time, and also requires more observations of the object. So, they have limitations that they have to work with, and I wouldn't say that they dropped the ball, but this was something that was eventually going to happen at some point.
And Gene, this U.S. satellite owned by a company called Iridium crashed into a defunct Russian satellite that was launched in 1993, which I read had an onboard nuclear reactor. This sounds bad. There were huge clouds of debris. Is there a possibility that radiation was released, or that nuclear debris has or will fall to Earth?
Again, because the satellite broke up, I believe that any nuclear or radioactive fuel that might have been on board would probably burn up in the atmosphere. So I don't think there's a risk of that to people on the ground. You know, the radiation that would be released in space is probably not a concern.
Andy Pastor from the Wall Street Journal, is that a consensus view as far as you could tell?
I think most scientists feel that the radioactive debris either wouldn't make it through the atmosphere or, equally as importantly, wouldn't hit some populated area. So I think that is a consensus. But to step back a little bit, the situation is serious in terms of moving these satellites around. Major satellite operators this week and last week and the week before are actually maneuvering satellites to prevent them from colliding with two other big satellites that have been crippled recently. So this is a continuing problem, and it goes way beyond military satellites. And I think what happened Tuesday will really highlight the idea that there needs to be some international consensus on how to deal with a lot of these issues in a much more proactive way. Perhaps.
And I gather that Iridium uses satellites to provide voice and data services to people on Earth. So do you know if this had any impact, Andy, that people would experience? Is this going to be relevant to anybody's computer access or cell phone service or anything like that?
They have about 300,000 customers worldwide, and the company says it'll only have a minimal impact because they have backup capacity in orbit, but for those folks, everyone who uses ATMs and lots of other things that rely on satellites, a major collision of two commercial satellites would have a significant impact on potentially, you know, hundreds of thousands of consumers. So this is not just a theoretical issue;
yeah.
It's a real issue.
So, Gene Stansbury from NASA, the last word. What's the ultimate solution here? Can people create sort of space lanes or something like that so there really can be orderly orbiting of satellites even without humans present?
Well, we've been tackling or grappling with that sort of question for some time. The problem is that most things that are tracked in space, dead satellites, you know, the fraction of operating satellites is relatively small, so most of the stuff doesn't have the capability of moving. So the things that you can do, you know, it's very, very challenging technical issue to remove stuff from space. And you know, we're looking for methods to do that are both economically feasible and technically feasible. But so far, really, we don't have any method for removing stuff from space that is not designed to do that as part of their operational capabilities.
Gene Stansbury, Orbital Debris Program Manager for NASA, and Andy Pastor, Wall Street Journal reporter, who has a front-page story today about Tuesday's first-ever satellite crash in orbit. Thank you both very much for coming on. I know it was on short notice, and I really appreciate your time.
Thanks very much. Have a nice day.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. They're still counting votes in Israel with so much at stake. We will get pro-Israel and Palestinian views. Stay with us.